Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Hello to you, the listener. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Gail Seiler, your host for today. It's cold out there, so we're glad to have you with us, warming up with KHOI. Later in the show, we'll be hearing from members of a new band in Ames that plays Bollywood music, and we'll be talking with Sean Carlton Appleton, who is part of Black Lives Matter in Iowa. But to start the show, we're joined by Susan Guiazda, the public relations officer for the city of Ames. Hello, Susan.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming out in the cold.
Happy to do it.
Susan comes in once a month to bring us updates about happenings in Ames and also to provide the city residents with information or just things that they may want or need to know. So since it's winter and the holidays are just ending, let's begin with information related to that. A lot of people are taking down their trees this week. If they live in Ames, what do they do?
Well, we get a lot of inquiries about this time of year, what to do with your live Christmas tree now that you're done with it. And we offer a recycling option for that once you've gotten rid of all the ornaments and tinsel and taken the stand off. You can bring that Christmas tree to the Parks and Recreation Maintenance Shop, 700 East 13th Street, and you can deposit it in our pile and we will mulch it sometime later on and use that mulch in the parks.
Okay. No tinsel.
No, try to take everything off it that you can. You would want to, not to find any lost ornaments in those branches. Anything that would not be recyclable, you would want to make sure that it was off of it. And then we chip those and so anything that you wouldn't want in mulch, you wouldn't want to leave on the tree.
And any hours, they can just drop it there?
During daylight hours. We don't want people – it's a safety thing. Okay. We just wouldn't want people trying to maneuver the site without being able to see. So through January, during daylight hours, 7 days a week, and then we will mulch that. Something that people don't always remember is that site is a free mulch site. So if there's mulch available at that Parks and Recreation Maintenance Shop location at 700 East 13th Street, you can pull up and help yourself to some mulch. It's community mulch.
I didn't know that.
Right. It is what we call low quality. Uh-huh. It's not the kind if you go to the store and buy it in different colors.
Right.
It is much more sticks and lower quality. You might want to put it down as a ground layer and then cover it.
Uh-huh.
But it is if there's mulch available, you may help yourself to that. Okay. Self-serve.
Okay, good to know. And we haven't had much snow yet, but presumably we will be getting some soon. I like snow, so I'm hoping for that. So what do people need to be aware of in terms of snow removal and snow ordinances?
Well, we were just talking about that, how we really haven't gotten much snow. This is an unusual winter season in that we've gotten rain. I don't know if you were here and heard the thunderstorm on Christmas.
On Christmas Day, That was very unusual.
So
strange.
It was. And because the ground was frozen, we did see a lot of ponding and freezing, but not snow.
Mm-hmm.
So we have not actually experienced a snow ordinance yet this season, which is unusual. And if the snow ordinance goes into effect, it's very important for residents to know if you live on a snow route and a snow route is marked with a red and white, some of the older signs are red, white, and blue, but a red and white sign that says emergency snow route and no parking on this street until the street is completely plowed. And so you need to be cognizant if you park on that street and the snow ordinance is in effect, which basically means 2 inches or more of snow, you need to move your car to off-street parking to a non-snow route street to get it off the street so the plows can come by and clear the streets. A good way to know if you're on a snow route is if you're on a Cyride route. So if a Cyride drives past your house, you are on a snow route. Now, there are some other streets that are not Cyride routes, but that's just a way to – you just need to go out and look around. The snow routes are also on our website if you want to check. But typically people in the neighborhood are aware. If you live on a snow route, you look for the signs, and then you pay attention to the weather. 2 inches or more of snow, please move your car. And we don't like to ticket or tow. It takes a lot of time. It makes the snow removal process go much more slowly. We don't make any money off of this. So please remove your car. And the whole idea is to make those main arterials clear for emergency vehicles, for school buses, for the Cyride buses, so we as a community can move forward after a storm. It's not punitive. It's not a income generator. It is simply to continue our community transportation network the next day after a snowstorm.
And if it's still snowing, they may start plowing. So say we get a big snowfall and it's still snowing, so people should.
So that's a great question, yeah, because people always ask, well, when can I move my car back?
Yeah.
If it's still snowing, you have to assume that the plows may come through again. So it has to – it stopped snowing and your street has been plowed from curb to curb. So they may go through one sweep on one side, but they have to come through, sweep the other. You have to make sure curb to curb it's plowed, it stopped snowing, and also watch if there's more snow forecast. They could come by again. It really has to be – the system has to have moved out. And we can't do an all clear. We've really tried to think of a way to make that effective. But it takes hours to plow the whole city. So it may be all clear in the south part of town, but it would not be clear in the north part. So you just have to look out and keep an eye on the weather. Is the system passed? And look at your street. Is it plowed from curb to curb? If those – you know, if those are both the right responses, you can move your car back.
Okay. All right. Something good to keep in mind.
Yeah. And we know that we have a lot of community members who move in and out of the community, and some of them have never heard of a snow ordinance. Mm-hmm. Some of them don't realize they're on a street that is part of the snow route. So all these things help get the word out. Share with your neighbors.
Tell your neighbors if you notice that they haven't moved their car and they
need
to. In a kind way.
Exactly. And it helps. It helps us get those streets plowed. It is if you ever want an interesting experience, ride with the snowplow driver because it's a very difficult job.
Yeah.
And just as a side note, when we do send the plows out and they're working, it is not unheard of for a plow to hit a mailbox. That does happen. We have knocked a few of them out. Please give us a call. Call our Public Works Department at 239-5160. Report that your mailbox has been hit, and we put up a temporary mailbox. We then go out in the spring and put a permanent mailbox in. We can't get into the ground right now. So it does happen.
Yeah.
We are familiar. We're not going to hold you accountable, and we know that you need your mail. So just let us know. We do the same thing in the spring. If you've noticed that maybe a plow jumped the curb a little bit and you've got some gouges in your grass, we will go through and we'll do some turf replacement or turf management and try to smooth those out for you.
And where did they call again for that?
That's our Public Works Department. There's actually – you can go online to cityofames.org and look under Public Works. There's some ways to email us, or you can just call the department, 239-5160.
Okay, great. So that brings us the Martin Luther King Day celebration. And what's in store for that annual celebration here in Ames this year?
Well, the City of Ames does get involved through our Human Relations Commission. They partner with several other community organizations, and they have a Martin Luther King Day celebration on Monday, January 16th this year at the Ames Middle School. The theme this year is called Equality, Justice, and Unity, the Ames Community MLK Day Celebration. It's from 6 to 7:30 p.m., again on Monday, January 16th. And the keynote speaker this year will be Dr. Daniel Spikes with Iowa State University School of Education. Also at that point, the Human Relations Commission does an annual award and called the Humanitarian Award, and they will be presenting that this year as well.
And I think it was just recently announced who was receiving that award.
Jeanette Colton was the winner of that. And there are some there is music provided by Ames High School Jazz Band. The Humanitarian Award, Jeanette Colton will be receiving her award. Very nice write-up on her work in the Tribune. Again, a whole message about equality, justice, and unity, really looking at the contribution that Martin Luther King made to the community and trying to live his message.
Okay. And do you know of any other events going on that day?
I do know that at the Volunteer Center of Story County, there is it's a day of service. Trying to live. A lot of people, as it's a federal holiday, many people have it off. The city does not have it off.
Okay.
So just a reminder, this is always very confusing for people. Parking meters will be enforced on that day.
Good to know, especially down here at the station.
Strangely enough, in February, there's President's Day, which the city does get off, which many people don't get off, and then there are no parking meters enforced. So we run into this every year. We try to send that information out. It's really sort of irrelevant to MLK Day, but just a important note. MLK is designated as a day of service. And so, for children who may have that day off and for other people in the community who may have that day off, it's a day to consider volunteering and contributing back to your community. Those opportunities are being organized through the Volunteer Center of Story County, and you can get more information on their website, vcstory.org.
All right. And I remember last year that their volunteer slots filled up. So if people want to do that, they may be filled already, I'm not sure, but get on that quickly to go to their website and sign up for something if you and your family want to be involved in that.
Yeah, I think it's a very good idea to recognize sort of the purpose of the holiday and the message of Martin Luther King Jr.
Sure. So. And this is the time of year that the city of Ames engages in its budgeting process?
Absolutely. We actually start budgeting process the fall before our fiscal year goes from July 1st to June 30th. So it seems like we've just started the new fiscal year and we're already planning for the next. So this past November, December, we were involved in the preliminary budget discussions, a lot of internal meetings. And now that we've turned over into the new year, much more of this becomes part of public meetings. And through the entire process, we always encourage public input. This is the time of year where it really is. We're having these public meetings. Please attend. We kick off the budget process in October with what we call the town budget meeting. And in the last few years, I've been very impressed. We've gotten several dozen people that attend, talk about their priorities, their funding priorities. They have some ideas for programs and for expanded services. It's always a tough conversation to look at the list of suggestions and say, these are really great. Where would you suggest we cut to afford those? And people don't always think that way. So there's always a trade-off. You know, the funding pot is finite and the ideas are infinite. So it's always hard to come up with those tough decisions on if you spend more one place, where are you going to save? But we appreciate that community input. It is your money that we're spending, and we need to make sure that we're reflecting the kind of community that people here want. So if you have some time, the next opportunity is to get involved in the budget process. The overview, a budget overview view, is presented to the council every year on a Friday afternoon. That is 2 p.m. on Friday, February 3rd. That is always televised live on our City Channel 12. You can watch it and rebroadcast on our archived programs on our website. And then that is followed by a series of departmental in-depth reviews of their budgets. And those begin on Tuesday, February 7th, Wednesday, February 8th, Thursday, February 9th. They're all at 5:15. And you can go on our website and see the schedule of which departments will be presenting each day. And they spend that time explaining to the city council what they're spending their part of the budget on. So if you're particularly interested in what Parks and Rec will be looking to fund in the next fiscal year, or Public Works, if you want to know what big projects the Electrics Department has, you could tune into that particular part of the meeting. You can watch the whole meeting. You can attend the meeting. We try to make it easy for public participation. And
are there opportunities at those meetings for people to participate?
No, they're just presentations. Okay. You're just listening. You're information gathering. And then a budget wrap-up is on Tuesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. What a wonderful way to spend your Valentine's Day. 5:15, the budget wrap-up, and a final budget hearing, 6 p.m., Tuesday, March 7th. Like all cities in Iowa, City of Ames must have its budget certified and complete by March 15th.
All right.
So once it's set then for the next year.
So lots of opportunities in February to learn about the budget, what different parts of it are being proposed.
How it's being spent, exactly.
And to have some input.
Yes, absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
Okay. And to explain what the TV channel is, just to make sure people know.
So
about
if you're
that.
A cable television subscriber, you have access to our City Channel 12, which is part of what we call the PEG broadcast stations. That's public education government. We're the government part of that. Each of those entities in a community with a franchise agreement with a cable company has access to a station. And so our station is Cable Channel 12. So on Mediacom, that's how you would watch city council meetings, get city programs. We cable cast many of our boards and commission meetings. You can watch the Parks and Rec Commission, the Public Art Commission. Those are all broadcast on City Channel 12. And then we do original programming. So if you're not a cable television subscriber, and that is certainly possible, you can get our channel online. We stream it over the internet. So at cityofames.org, you can hit cable, City Channel 8, and you can watch it over your internet. If you miss a live meeting, if you can't watch it real time, they are all archived. And so – and it's a great new system we just unveiled recently where you can go to a council meeting and you can skip right to the agenda item you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really helpful because even as staff, things happen quickly in a council meeting and we're looking often for direction. And the next morning you sit there and you think, oh, I think that's what they said, but I'm not clear. And we go back to the archive
and
we get exactly
said.
The direction and we can make sure that we know that we're following the correct path. So it's very helpful. Anybody that has an interest in a particular item on the council agenda, and of course, as you know, these agendas can have 25 to 80 items on them.
So you might not want to listen to the whole
you might
thing.
And you might not want to have to guess. Oh, I think it was midway through the meeting. So it's a great resource.
Great. Okay.
That archive is so helpful. And we know people are using it because we can track the traffic that goes to it. So another bonus.
Okay. And this is also the time when recruitment of members for boards and commissions is going on.
Oh, this is a great one. If all the volunteer slots are picked out for the volunteer day of service, for your day of service, this is a longer commitment. But Ames residents, 18 years old or older, are really called to consider putting their name in for a slot on a city board or commission. And that means like serving on the library board of trustees or the Parks and Recreation Commission. There are more than a dozen opportunities to serve on a city board or commission as a member for a 3-year term. We've at least consolidated all the terms. So now they're all 3 years. They used to all be different. And they all run their staggered commissions, staggered terms, but they will all be coming due at the end of March, and we start the commission. The new commissions will start on April 1st. So we're asking people to apply by Friday, February 17th. Each board or commission has a different area of focus. Obviously, if you're on the library board, you are concerned about the day-to-day operations of the library. Parks and Recreation looks at a different aspect of community life, the parks and the recreation opportunities offered. But this is an opportunity to sort of shape the community as one of a member of a board, and you are making recommendations to the city council. So you're looking at policy, you're looking at long-range planning. At some, like the library, you're looking at budgeting and funding, and then you make recommendations to the Ames City Council on the direction that that department should head. It's really helpful. These advisory boards do make a difference. You know, we have several new parks this past year, and those were led in part by the those commissions looking at where were areas underserved, where are we growing, where did parks make sense. We have new policy decisions being recommended by these boards and commissions. They are really important, and the council really depends on them for helping to guide the community decisions in the future. That application is available on our website, cityofames.org. Look under government and then boards and commissions. Gives you lots of details about each board and commission, what they do, when and when they meet.
Okay.
It also tells you how many vacancies there are. We have close to 40 vacancies that we need to fill, and we don't have a lot of applications right now. So I really recommend looking at that as an opportunity to give back.
Yeah, that's a great way for people to be involved and to have an impact as well, because that's a great opportunity. Okay, we just have about, say, 30 more seconds. Are there any quick events that are happening that you want to tell us about?
Well, I'll just leave it. There's so many. Just to check our website, cityofames.org. There is a calendar and a news button on there. Check it regularly. There's always something happening in the community.
All right. Great. Thank you very much, Susan. We'll see you in February.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Radio. That was Susan Gwiazda from the City of Ames here for her monthly update. And now we're going to be bringing you some music of a type that you may not have listened to very much. AIM has an extraordinary addition to its music scene. It's a Bollywood band made up primarily of ISU faculty members from India. The band is called Chai Tunes, and they made their first official debut last month. Ursula Rudenberg interviewed some of the band members, and we'll hear that now, along with some of their music.
My name is Anupam Sharma, and I play the rhythm guitar in the band. I am in the aerospace engineering department at Iowa State, the faculty there.
Hi, I'm Shankar Subramaniam. I'm in the mechanical engineering department at Iowa State. I play some of the lead pieces on guitar and also some bass lines.
I'm Shivani Subramaniam, and I play Western flute in a couple of pieces as a guest artist. And I'm a high school student in ninth grade.
I'm Balaji Narasimhan, and I teach chemical engineering. I'm one of the percussionists.
And my name is Sriram Sundarajan. I play the keyboard. I'm one of the two keyboardists in the band. I'm a professor of mechanical engineering. I'm also in the College of Engineering at this point. So.
And you are all members of the Chai Tunes Bollywood band.
That's correct. Yeah.
Which is a new band.
Yeah, it is reasonably new. We have been playing for last 1 year.
For 1 year?
Yeah.
How many people are in the band?
I think 11 is the complete count, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the majority of the band members are affiliated with the university or faculty at the university in different departments. Some of very prominent people, our lead vocalist Abhijit Rao is with the College of Business at Iowa State. Pradeepa Sukumaran, our lead female vocalist, is affiliated with Iowa State through her husband, who is Ajay Nair, our other singer. Ajay is in the horticulture department. Nikhil Ranade, who graduated from Iowa State, he is the other keyboardist. Sri Neelkanta, he is a faculty in the College of Business. And Atul Kelkar, the second percussionist, he's in mechanical engineering as well.
If the music's no good, at least the science will be there.
Well, we hope the music is good. We think that the music is good.
And you are all from India, is that correct?
That's right.
That is correct.
Yeah. Except for me, both my parents are from India, but I was born here.
You gave a performance recently. Was this your first performance as a Bollywood band?
Yes, it was. We performed last month here in town at Zeke's for charity. And yep, it was our first gig and hopefully the first of many to come.
Did it go well?
We believe so.
based on the audience response, yes.
Yeah, there were about 175 people or so who came for the show.
I didn't expect to see people dancing in the aisles, but we did have people dancing in the aisles. Yeah, I think it exceeded expectations.
Yeah, the sound was very good at Zeke's. I think it turned out well. I think we all had fun.
What is Bollywood?
The term Bollywood started as a spin-off from the word Hollywood. It came to represent the Indian movie industry, which is mainly based in the city of Mumbai, which used to be called Bombay. Mm-hmm. And that's where Bollywood came from.
It's a conflation of Bombay and Hollywood?
Right. That's a bit of a misrepresentation because even though the biggest number of Indian movies are made in Bombay and they're made in a certain language, which is Hindi, which is the national language of India, Indian movies are not confined only to Bombay. India is a very diverse country in terms of languages, and so there are a number of other languages in which movies are made. And the term Bollywood started to sort of represent all of them, but then Kollywood and Tollywood and other versions have also started to emerge.
There are 22 recognized Indian languages, so that's an idea of how many languages and how diverse it is.
A lot of languages.
All the movies that are made in India have songs that are an integral component of all these movies.
The movies are musicals?
I wouldn't say musicals per se, but they're interspersed with songs. So they're semi-musical, if you would.
For a Hollywood audience, I would say that a musical would be the easiest way to explain what Indian movies are. But I wouldn't say all Bollywood movies are like Sound of Music or something like that.
In American musical, when there's an emotional moment, a pivotal concept in the plot, the actor breaks into song that explains that concept.
Mm-hmm. That's very similar to what happens in a Bollywood movie. Sometimes the songs are part of the plot. More often than not, it's a manifestation of what the protagonist or the antagonist is thinking.
Most Bollywood movies are never acted out live or on a stage the way musicals are, and I think that would really just be the biggest difference.
Is there something that is distinctive of Bollywood music?
It's a peculiar smorgasbord mix of various kinds of Indian music. There are elements of Indian classical music, Indian folk music, Western music. It will borrow from reggae. It may borrow from all over the world, international music. And they've stitched this together and made some really catchy songs. It's fun and challenging to play in the sense that you may have an Indian classical element like a raga, and there may be chords going along with it.
There will be some Bollywood movies and music which will be very classical, and there are different classical genres in India itself, in Indian music. And then others would be very straightforward, very simple, and very catchy.
It's very difficult to classify that as a kind of genre, being as it is such an umbrella. So I found it very fun and challenging to play because it has all these various elements.
It's almost like a fusion. So the music directors who compose the songs for the music, depending upon the plot of the movie or the requirements of the movie, some compositions are more classical, some compositions are more Western, and some compositions are a combination. That gives us a large menu to choose from, and I think that's part of the fun.
Could you give a good example of Bollywood music that's popular today in India?
One of the examples that we can share with you that we all love and that we performed is a song from a popular Bollywood movie from about 10 years back. The movie is called Rang De Basanti. The movie actually talks about the growth of a generation of youth that really sort of grows up to understand their responsibilities and steps up to help the country in different ways. So the song is called Lukha Chupi. It describes the loss of a son that is experienced by a mom. She is telling her son to not play hide and seek with her and expressing how much she misses her son.
Okay. This is Local Talk, and you've been listening to Bollywood music performed by AIM's new Bollywood band. I am Ursula Rudenberg, speaking with the members of Chai Tunes. How did this band come together?
One of the members who is not here was very interested in just jamming with a few people. So he called upon me, and I have never performed before. So it was a bit of a scary proposition. Nevertheless, we started jamming together. Then I tried singing along, and I'm not a singer. And after a while, he told me, I think we should get somebody who'd be a lead vocalist, which was a hint to me.
Was this for fun, or was this with the idea of actually a band that would perform publicly?
It was totally for fun at that point of time. So
this was just for fun?
Yeah. So then we got Abhijit involved, who is our lead male singer, unfortunately not here today. And then Sriram joined as the keyboardist. And then Pradeepa, our lead female vocalist, joined, who's also not here. Then Shankar. So yeah, we are 11 now.
Is this a gathering of friends who all know each other prior to this?
A bit of both, I guess, yeah.
Right.
Yes, the Indian community has an annual talent night where they encourage people in the community to showcase their talents. When Anupam, Atul, Abhijit, Pradeepa and myself were there, we set that as a target. Let's at least do something with the goal of going on stage and performing. Shankar was there too.
Yeah, Sriram was fully responsible for dragging me into this, which is very enjoyable.
And then after that, we knew other people in the community who were also musically inclined and were capable. And so we said, let's pull everybody together. And that's how it all came together.
Why did you even start these jam sessions?
I would say the very beginning was for fun.
I would say the fun of music was the initial draw for me, just to have a group together working on songs. So for me, that was a very fulfilling thing to be engaged in music.
It's a great de-stressor for many of us. We all have day jobs and deal with life, as all of us do, right? And this was a nice outlet to be creative, to have a good time. We're called Chai Tunes because we all love to drink chai.
So do you drink chai when you practice?
Absolutely. No meetings without chai. So after we started getting some chemistry together, we started upping the ante a little bit and started challenging ourselves to do better.
And for the broader community, I would say, as well.
Right? Yeah. As far as I can tell, I think that a lot of Bollywood music is a huge part of Indian culture. So this is a great way of sharing that with the rest of the Indian community. And I think that a lot of them enjoyed the concert for that reason.
And then the concept of doing an event and raising money for good causes resonated a lot with the whole group. And so this kind of just organically developed, I guess.
And then you did a fundraiser.
Yes, but also of the mind that if we're going to do this, it would be nice to benefit some causes.
The band put the fundraiser together. You chose right. Your causes.
Mm-hmm. You know, usually these events, we wanted people to come and we wanted, well, we'll double up and say if people are going to come and enjoy, let's have them contribute, you know, as they would like to these causes.
I think it's a nice way to both share our interests and culture and also have some benefit, community benefit. So it is truly a community engagement, you might say.
This is your way of participating in the community?
I would say so, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We did reach out to friends of ours that were non-Indian. Several of us did. And there was a significant number of people in the audience that were not from India.
I was nervous to see how any audience would take this the first time we stepped up there. And since it's gone well, I think now we'd be more ambitious and brave to perform it.
Salona jahan hai yahan sapno wala meri patang ho befikar ud rahi hai maan dor koi lute nahi beech se kaate na
Local Talk, and you've been listening to Bollywood music performed by Ames New Bollywood Band. I am Ursula Rudenberg, speaking with the members of Chai Tunes. Do these Bollywood songs, do they become popular music in India?
Yes, they are very much part of the culture in India.
Yeah, very popular. Very. Yeah, yeah.
And there's a big following now.
The songs that we do pick are ones that have become very popular in India, and so the audience mm-hmm. will immediately recognize. And
not just in India. They are becoming a worldwide phenomenon quite fast. I know that Bollywood music is very popular in the Middle East. It's very popular in Africa. In Russia, they get released in the United States the same day that Bollywood movies get released in India, in the United States as well. So
fun part that we have is trying to decide which songs to do.
Bollywood concerts are very strong in audience participation. People clap along. People dance a lot to these songs because oftentimes these songs are from movies and there are dances that go along with these. So again, part of choosing the songs, as others have described here, is a combination of songs that involve the audience and songs that are musically satisfying to all of us to perform.
In the fundraiser that you did recently, was the audience primarily Indians?
It was primarily Indian, but there were people in the audience that were not from India as well. Since this was our first gig, the outreach mechanisms that we used ended up being targeted more towards the Indian community in Ames.
There's a sizable Indian community in Ames. What brings people to Ames from India?
The largest majority is still affiliated with the university as faculty, probably.
There's a lot of emphasis on the math and sciences, or STEM, which brings a lot of Indians to places like Iowa State, where there is more jobs available, mm-hmm. having to do with STEM. And so then I think a community just develops here from all those people coming.
I guess there's only one question left then. How do you make chai?
Just like our Indian music, there are a variety of ways.
Okay.
The Indian way to make it is you boil some water and then you put some tea leaves, which are specialized Indian tea leaves.
It's black tea?
It's yes. Black tea, but over-roasted tea leaves. And then you boil the tea leaves with the water. Then you add milk and you boil again, add sugar and boil it to perfection. And then you serve it hot.
And you can embellish it with all types of spices.
True.
You could make what is called masala chai, which is, masala is spices. You could put cardamom, you could put cinnamon, you could put all types of Indian herbs and spices, cloves, ginger.
Ginger
is a big one. So whenever we sing more catchy songs, I guess we become masala chai tunes.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
That was Ursula Rudenberg speaking with members of Chai Tunes, a new Bollywood band that has recently formed in Ames. The music you heard was performed by the band. Thanks for bringing us that, Ursula, and the band members. Chai Tunes will be performing around Ames in the future, so keep an eye out for them if you want to hear more of that music and experience Bollywood. They may be playing at a KHOI fundraiser soon, and we'll be telling you more about that. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI, your community radio station, and we've been joined here in the studio now by Sean Carlton Appleton. Thanks for being here, Sean.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay. Sean is associated with Black Lives Matter in Iowa, and he started the Black Lives Matter Iowa Facebook group. I'd like to start by asking you to tell the listeners, what is Black Lives Matter and what is it not?
Well, what it is, where it began was just kind of a grassroots campaign against police brutality and over-policing of black communities and of black people. Its origins are really kind of steeped in the Trayvon Martin case about 4 or 5 years ago, the murder of a teenage boy by an adult man who subsequently got acquitted with no charges whatsoever. And it just began as a hashtag on social media, and it just kind of groomed from there. It was started by three activists in Oakland, California, three women who had been very involved in grassroots politics, and they saw this, and then they took note of the fact that a lot of the things that were brought up about Trayvon Martin were not even relevant. Like, it wasn't really talked about, or it was talked more about the clothes he was wearing,
right.
The fact he had a hooded sweatshirt. He was acting, quote-unquote, suspicious. It was night. He had supposedly Skittles or candy bar on him that looked like a weapon, and he was stalked by this grown man who was doing security and was, in the end, killed for no apparent reason, and he just walked away scot-free. And so it began as a hashtag, Black Lives Matter, You Matter, and then just kind of grew from there.
It's not a formal organization like, for example, the NAACP or anything
Correct.
Like that.
Right. I don't get the sense it's any kind of – there's no centralized authority to it. It's just kind of – it's not an organization. It's more of just a movement. So unlike the NAACP, there is no tiered authority structure. There's no president, vice president, and so forth. It's just kind of something that has been picked up over the years, the last 4 to 5 years. In different segments of the country, and it's just kind of been made its own in different areas. So Oakland, California, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, New York, what have you. It's kind of – it really exists in cyberspace in its real form. So it is very much just kind of a, if you will, kind of a word of mouth sort of thing.
A word of mouth, but using social media to a very great extent.
Right. And that is today's version of word of mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, it is used social media in a very brilliant way. So as to kind of capture the fire of grassroots politics, and like I said, just continues to bloom from there. And it's growing in sophistication every day.
So social media, Facebook and things like that are used to share information, to organized to some extent,
right.
if there's events and right. so on, or educational outreach or other kinds of actions going on. Is that right?
Right. It's used mainly as a communication tool and as mm-hmm. an organizing tool. It also has a website in its own right. So internet usage in general is big in Black Lives Matter. It has to kind of be that way because there is no official offices that – not that I've scanned around. I've done – some investigating, and I don't really see any kind of like actual established buildings where, you know, it says Black Lives Matter central headquarters or anything mm-hmm. like that. So no, it really is internet dependent, and I think it's really cool for that very mm-hmm. reason. So it's there's no centralized authority structure, mm-hmm. so there's no real bureaucracy that comes with it.
Yeah, so it's really kind of a new form for activism
mm-hmm,
and organization.
Really, yeah.
What would you say are the guiding principles or issues of Black Lives Matter overall, if you can kind of name them?
Well, overall, the guiding principles of Black Lives Matter are Black Lives Matter. So in essence, well, along with that, it's a very inclusive organization. So what it means to do is that it means to elevate Black people in particular, but on the premise that as we elevate Black people, we elevate everyone else. So the guiding principles are, and like I said, it started out with police brutality and over policing and the inequitable treatment of Black people by authority structures. And it's kind of, it's snowballed from there. So it's gone on to things like economic justice, reparations, which is, you know, kind of the same thing as economic mm-hmm. justice, supporting Black businesses, and just kind of an amalgam of things that having to do with Black people and the issues that affect directly and indirectly affect Black people. So the guiding principles are it's a very all-inclusive, very welcoming environment. But is still directly centered on specifically the Black community.
Okay. And then in looking at the context of Iowa and the Black community here, are there particular issues or concerns that are relevant here that Black Lives Matter is focused on and that people should be aware of?
Yes, in a way. I mean, in a way, there's not really a strong presence of Black Lives Matter in Iowa, not that I really got initially. Now, I've since found out otherwise that there is presence in Des Moines and Iowa City. But when I, like I said, just because, and that's kind of where the lack of centralization authority really comes as a disadvantage, because you don't really know where to look.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, over time, I found otherwise. So there are issues like the prison population in Iowa, which is disproportionately African American, which is terrible because the population of Black people in Iowa is very dismal. It's about 2.9%.
Small,
very,
right.
Very small, but we constitute a clear majority in Iowa prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Educational system in Iowa, as it terms, at least in Ames, as I come to find out, is kind of lacking when it comes to Black students, and this kind of feeds the prison or the school to prison mm-hmm. pipeline. So faulty schools lead to faulty education leads to people needing to find resources elsewhere, and that's not always within the bounds of the law, and so it just kind of ends them in the prison system. Just because of the lack of education or the lack of true guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the prison industrial complex, which is big in Iowa. You know, there are a lot of companies that do benefit from the prison industry in terms of like supplying furniture or whatever, construction jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you have an educational system that kind of feeds people into that, mainly Black people. So the educational, the faulty educational system or the lacking of the educational system in the prison industrial complex are probably two of the bigger things in Iowa directly affecting Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that, as you said, the Black population in Iowa is quite small, around 2%.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the overall graduation rate from high school mm-hmm. of African Americans in Iowa, it's very, very low compared mm-hmm. to the white population and even the Latino population.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I looked, it was around 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And even in many what would be deemed really good school districts like
mm-hmm.
Ames,
mm-hmm.
that I know they're trying to address it here, but mm-hmm. the graduation rate of Black students is
right.
much, much lower.
Disproportionately so. Like,
right.
You know, it's easy to argue, well, it's because the Black population in Iowa is very small, so the graduation rates are small. Well, even if you adjust it for their relative population,
right.
it still comes back extremely poor.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with disciplinary
mm-hmm.
In-school discipline, suspensions and detentions and so on. If you look at those statistics, which are available online, you can
mm-hmm.
Go to the Office of Civil Rights website. It's a federal website, and you can look up any school in the country, and you can look up a lot of different things. But one of the things you can look up is school disciplinary data. It's usually a year or two back because it takes them a while to update
sure.
it. But I've had students in my classes research different schools across Iowa, and in every school we've looked at where there are Black students, there's
uh-huh.
a big disparity in who is represented in school suspensions
uh-huh.
and various kinds of disciplinary uh-huh. referrals versus their proportion uh-huh. in the
and this
school.
And that's where it comes into where the issue of representation mattering so much. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that on school administrations and in school faculties and such, there is a very lacking of Black faces. There's a cultural misunderstanding or a cultural, I would say, almost fear of Black students and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and Black people in general. And it's kind of made worse by the fact that you don't have anywhere approaching a balanced, counterpoint to that coming namely from, administration officials or teachers. So, you know, the cultural, imbalance
mm-hmm.
just kind of feeds everything repeatedly.
Yeah, nationwide, the teacher workforce is predominantly white,
mm-hmm.
and that's the case certainly here in Iowa.
For sure.
As well, probably even more so. In Ames, are there other issues particularly in Ames now, other than the, you know, prison disparities, prison industrial complex, school to prison pipeline related to the things we've talked about with education. Are there any other particular concerns in Ames? I know there's been a lot of discussion elsewhere about policing tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a concern in Ames or in Des Moines maybe?
I don't really get the sense it's a concern in Ames mm-hmm. per se. I've heard it is kind of a concern in Des Moines where the black population is a bit larger. So it is, you have kind of a more concentrated, policing of black individuals in Des Moines. the only thing it's other than the educational system and the prison system coming during or affecting directly Ames that really has come up in the last several months or so is the on ISU campus the posting of flyers of mm-hmm. White supremacy
right.
White supremacy adages and organizations. Just kind of popping up, you know, here and there, in about two or three incidents, kind of leading right up to the elections
of
the presidential elections. So, we now know that presence is there, that, resentful presence of, minority and black students is there because it showed itself. So in terms of, race relations, I'd say that's probably the biggest thing that's come up okay. recently in Ames.
Yeah, and we've covered that quite a bit on throughout the fall,
right?
Even and last fall with the tailgating incident at the game last fall, mm-hmm. previous fall. But I think that is a concern, and I know that many people on campus are still mm-hmm. concerned. And
I'm really
aware
only
of that.
Yeah, I'm really only just beginning to scratch the surface here too. So
right.
I'm sure as I go forward with this, more and more stuff's going to be brought to my attention. I
mm-hmm.
hope so because I do know it's there.
Yeah, and that's the way social media can work
mm-hmm.
too. Facebook and so on. People who hear things, know things, experience things that other people should be made aware of, then they
right.
can use social media to spread that information and
yeah,
to, and
great
to share
for that,
it.
That reason.
Yeah, so people can be more aware of what's going on. One of the reactions to Black Lives Matter is to say, I'm sure you've heard this, all lives matter.
Right.
How would you respond to that?
The way I respond to it is to say, well, we all know that all lives matter. I mean, black people know all lives matter. This is not about telling us that all lives matter. It's about telling you that our lives do matter. So it's kind of a ridiculous thing to say. And we've never said that all lives don't matter.
Didn't matter, yeah.
It was really media that perpetuated that. It's the negative perceptions in the media of Black Lives Matter that have kind of spurred this this idea that Black Lives Matter is some sort of racist movement against white people
mm-hmm.
When it's anything but. If you go to the website, if you listen to any of the organizers, especially the three women who founded the
mm-hmm.
movement, they are very clear in saying this is very inclusive. We are very welcoming of everyone. So it's to tell us that all lives matter is like you're preaching to the choir. We know that all lives mm-hmm. matter. Do you
we
know,
want you to realize
do you know
it. Yeah.
that all lives matter, quote unquote? Do you know that? I mean, and if all lives do matter, then why are you out here standing next to me? Why aren't you here working with me? You know? So you will say things like, you know, all lives matter or blue lives matter,
mm-hmm.
which is ridiculous in itself because blue is not a color. It is a color, but it's not a race.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an ethnic group.
Yeah.
You know, if you know, you're blue, you're a police officer, and that's great if you're good at what you do and you hold yourself true to the integrity of your job, which, you know, I happen to believe that most police officers do. But, you know, you're blue for maybe 40 hours out of the week, and then you take off your uniform, you go home, and you're not blue anymore. I am black 24/7.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the difference. I can't take this off, and wouldn't want to, but I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll say blue lives matter, but you won't say black lives matter. That's interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, we're just about out of time, but I know that there's an event that you're involved in
mm-hmm.
this weekend, so called Tear Down the Wall. And we actually talked about it on Local Talk, but let's just give a little information on that.
From my understanding of the look at the Facebook group that I
– You were just invited to participate by the organizers.
Participate in it as a representative of Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. So it is organized by some of the local social justice workers, Jim Kopic being one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of featured speakers and there's music. And it's going to be at the United Church of Christ. Well, it's like 5:30 to 8.
What's the on Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah. Tomorrow, the designated time. So it's just – it's a large calling to the entire community itself. So we want as many people as we possibly can. This is one of those things that can only really be effective if there's a large turnout.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause large turnouts, you know, it
motivate action.
It connotes, you know, strength in action.
Yeah.
So we want as many people who are there, and especially if you are someone who wants to get behind things like Black Lives Matter or whatnot, this is a good way to get your toes into it. And you can just kind of go from there.
Okay. That's a good place to end. There's other things I would love to talk to you about and ask you. So maybe we'll have to have you on again.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much. I've been talking with Sean Carlton Appleton, who is, I guess we could say, the organizer of Black Lives Matter in Iowa, one of the organizers, and runs the Facebook page.
Right.
So thanks for being with us. This is KHOI Community Radio, and you've been listening to Local Talk. I've been your host, Gail Seiler. Our other guest today was Susan Gwiazda from the city of Ames, and we heard an interview with a local Bollywood band called Chai Tunes. Local Talk is broadcast on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can listen to all of our shows, today's show, and all of our shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Local Talk was engineered by Evan Taylor, and our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. We're a community radio station driven by volunteers and made possible by donations from individuals, businesses, and organizations. So please support your community radio station. You can go to our website, khoifm.org, and look for the donate button. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as an audience and supporter is what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.